You are listening to the Stick and Hack Show, a show about golf and life from a stick and a hack. Now, here is your host, Adam Grubb and Mike Ryan.
All right, everybody, welcome in. It is the Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb, the hack. That's Mike Ryan right there, the stick. Mike, how are you?
Super duper, buddy.
It's been interesting.
It has.
So far.
It's been quite the morning.
It's been interesting. Also, in an unrelated note, if anybody knows of an executive producer for the Stick and Hack Show, there's an opening.
Yeah. Taking applications.
Honestly, if you have any experience in life,
yeah,
you could take over the role.
Hired.
Hired on the spot.
Yeah. Sight unseen.
Sorry, I don't have any podcast experience. Well, neither did the other guy. So we're good. We have an incredible show on tap today. We have with us our guest, Harry Cloak of Shore Hero Golf Course Analytics, and he's going to be here talking about the wonderful world of golf data, which, Mike, for me, has been something over the last 20 years that I've started to take notice of how intricate the data is in golf, and is it good for the game, bad for the game? We've had a conversation about that. We've had guests on that, but Harry has a company specifically designed to help courses and help course management understand their course better and understand the players' habits on the course. It's fascinating stuff, and we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it is for sure, and it's something that's only going to become more prevalent as time goes on.
So. And hopefully for Harry's sake, it is, because that's his whole company.
Yeah, he's kind of betting his livelihood on that.
So. So let's hope that
yeah.
happens.
Yeah, for sure.
Show brought to you this week by Toasty Snacks. They are nutrient dense ingredient, crunchy and delicious grab and go snack. Toasty Snacks. They are Toasty Super Bites. They're made from simple organic ingredients, packed with plant protein, low in sugar, and crunchy and delicious. Mike, I know part of your New Year's resolution was to eat healthier snacks. Good
yep.
for you.
Yep.
Toasty is on the show as a sponsor, as a member perk program as well.
I'm excited about it.
All right.
So I haven't Toasty gotten snacks. To them yet, though, but I'm
Oh, the other just kinda, you had another one that you wanted to buy all of the stuff from the member perks program. And yeah. you have done most of those.
Close.
Except for the sponsor of today's show.
The only one I haven't done yet, I think.
Shocking. Available in 8 yummy flavors, 2 convenient sizes. Toasty, part of our member perks program for Stick and Hack members only. Sign up as a free member of Stick and Hack and then go to the members perks page to see the code and current deal from Toasty, proud sponsor of the Stick and Hack show. And I will tell you that I eat them and they're unbelievable. And I don't like many things.
That is a true statement.
In life,
yeah.
Let alone in food.
Your typical diet is like that of a 12-year-old.
Yeah, so 100%.
Not, if you and, like them, then they've got to be delicious.
And I wasn't anticipating liking them. I'm sure they don't want to hear that. But I wasn't anticipating liking them, and they're fantastic.
You're a skeptic.
I was.
Hey, they won you over.
Well, when you say plant protein, you're like, I don't like vegetables, and I sure as hell don't like plants.
Right.
And you put that together, it's a bad deal. Yet, Toasty figured it out, and they're unreal. And that is going to be a sponsor read that goes down in the history books
like
of one of the best sponsor reads in the history of time. all right, again, our guest this week, Harry Cloak of Shore Hero Golf, is going to be with us here in just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about stats and data. We know ShotLink, correct, Mike?
Yep.
You know about them. Every shot now, we know the distance. We know everything that happens in the PGA and the LPGA as it's happening live. We know the apex of the shot. We know all this stuff, and it's all because of ShotLink. Now, the tour implemented its first electronic scoreboard system in 1983. The initial program provided 19 electronic scoreboards on site at each PGA Tour event. So that's just the scoreboard itself, right? The system was supported by a proprietary data collection device and 2 mini computers. That was it in the 1980s. The scoreboard system was upgraded in 1987 to wireless device for data collection. And in 1992, they extended the system from a scoreboard system to a complete scoring system. And it leveraged data collection capabilities as well as provided inquiry and analysis 60 locations around the course and around the tournament, hospitality, media, and broadcast locations, and they even started to integrate the scoring system interface to the broadcaster's graphics. Now, we know what golf coverage is today, and some of you might remember it in the 80s and 90s as being a little dull, a little boring. The stats have definitely helped the storytelling and the experience of somebody watching golf understand what is happening, how truly far they hit the ball, and how fast and how hard and all that.
Yeah,
do you like it?
I do. And one of the biggest things I think what it does is it helps the average golfer I don't want to say relate to the pros, but it helps them understand how good they really are. So if you look at, and you know, we did a little spot on, you know, how do our stats compare? And if you haven't seen it, go out to the website, check that out.
It's quite a plug.
Thank you. Thank you.
That doesn't usually come out of you.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I'm trying.
What's the website, I'm Mike?
Stickandhack.com.
Great job.
Yeah.
Great job.
You know, it really, I think it helps them understand, you know, how good they really are and where, you know, why they're able to hit the ball as far as they are, especially when you think about the new equipment and how it's been able to revolutionize just like the spin of the golf ball off the tee.
Absolutely. So. 1999, an analysis of the scoring system was conducted to determine a strategy for the future. That future was ShotLink. So they concluded that an existing system should be replaced by a more capable and sophisticated system, and then they said, "Well, let's just track every single shot and where it goes, and let's call it ShotLink." For the last 20 years, ShotLink has continued to evolve in a world class, one of a kind scoring system and platform. Now, this is how ShotLink works, because this is what I was fascinated by, because you see the stats almost immediately of how far the ball went. And in my mind, it was impossible for that to be truly mapped and all that. Well, it's human beings. It's volunteers. And you actually were a volunteer for ShotLink at one point.
I was when the BMW Championship was here in the Indianapolis area at Crooked Stick. That was one of the things we got to do, is kind of see how ShotLink works, and they let you kind of interact. You weren't running it, but you could see like how it works. And there's a module that they have a guy in the middle of every fairway that kind of is collecting that data.
Yeah.
As the players,
Data Dean, they call him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Each golf course is mapped prior to the event, so a digital image of each hole is used as background information in order to calculate exact locations and distances between any two coordinates. So that's tee box in the player's first shot, or the shot location and the location of the hole. The ShotLink system is operated by a small staff of PGA Tour employees and a volunteer workforce each week. It takes approximately 350 volunteers per event to score the golf tournament. 350. Yeah. And that's the role you want, because you're on the course, you're right there with them. Yep. You're next to the golfers. You don't want to be in sanitation or in the concession stand or in the stupid merch tent, right? When you're a volunteer at a tournament, you want to be on course as either the person that's showcasing where the ball is with the little flag, or you want to be on the ShotLink team. So this equates to approximately 3 man years of effort, which I don't know. What does that mean? Man years. Person years, people years? That's
people years.
Pretty sexist.
It is.
Let's try that again. Now, first, I didn't write this. This is what I researched.
All right.
Okay?
That's fine.
Shane, you have nothing from you today. Zero from you. Thank you. This equates to approximately 3 person years of effort between staff and volunteers. The annual ShotLink volunteer count on the PGA Tour is approximately 10,000 volunteers to bring on the each event.
Yeah.
And that is the ShotLink. It has 350 of those on its own each tournament.
It's pretty amazing to see how they coordinate everything and how organized they are, and they're able to get all of these people kind of rowing in the same direction. It's really impressive.
Yeah.
So
here's a weird stat, Stick and Hack weird stat. New feature. It might be the only time we do it. See how it goes over.
All right, fine.
Stick and Hack weird stat. Tony Finau, despite carding 7 birdies and an eagle one tournament, he actually lost 1.5 strokes putting relative to the field. Now, you're laughing because you understand what that means. I don't, and that'll be my next question. In doing so, Finau became the first player in PGA Tour ShotLink history to card a 62 or lower while also losing strokes putting. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so explain that. So he fired a 62. Basically, he could have been better. He could have been lower.
If he would have putted.
If he would have putted well.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
He didn't.
He had...
basically, if he compared his putting strokes to the rest of the field, he was losing strokes from his putting.
Just from that.
Just from that. So that tells you how good he was hitting the ball.
Yet he fired a 62. Exactly. Yeah, so putting is important, but it's not everything. But he could have shot a 59, basically.
Probably, yeah.
Right?
Probably.
That's the Stick and Hack weird stat. Thoughts?
I like it.
I don't think you do. Harry Cloak, my God. Let's bring in Harry Cloak and see if we can salvage this show. Harry Cloak of Shore Hill Golf Course Analytics. Harry, how are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
We are outstanding. We are doing very well. All right, so I'm going to talk about you for a second. You have developed a system which allows golf clubs to track every single shot played on their golf course in relation to handicap, age, gender, weather conditions, pace of play, tee usage, and pin locations. My God. Measuring the information allows for detailed understanding of how golfers of all standards will interact with each and every feature on a golf course, from which precisely considered recommendations can be made. So, Harry, my first question, and probably the most important question here, is what did I just read, and what the hell does it mean?
Well, to be honest, I think you guys summed it up pretty well in the intro there. We're trying to understand exactly how golfers of all standards are engaging with specific golf courses. So the reason for doing that is a golf course obviously costs a hell of a lot of money to design and build and maintain and manage and run day to day. And you obviously do that to try and engage with golfers who play the game in such radically different ways, as typified by the stick and the hack. So we're trying to kind of provide some detailed insight into that so that we can review the golf course strategy, the architecture, maintenance practices, look at environmental practices, just everything, get down and drill down into the detail of the golf course and how players are engaging with it so that better decisions can be made, really.
Now, as I understand it, Harry, you basically give the golfers a wristwatch, a smartwatch, and they go out and they play, and that's what is bringing the data back to the clubhouse and tracking all that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's one way we can do it. Obviously, you guys were talking about the ShotLink stuff there. We can't really afford to have 300 volunteers out on the golf course or whatever tracking.
We'll get to it, Harry.
It's pretty expensive doing that. yeah. So one of the ways we can do that, our sort of end goal is that we can use smartwatches to automatically track when shots have been hit. So we have all your information online, so we know your age, gender, handicap, and then we can have link that up to a QR code on wristwatches, so you can basically scan your phone with your account onto the wristwatch, put it on, go play, it tracks every shot that you've hit, hand it back in. All that data then feeds into our system, which is a cloud-based system. We can basically review and analyze exactly how players are playing the golf course, and we can filter down, you know, by age, gender, handicap, you know, weather conditions, how the course was set up. We just want to ask pretty much every question we possibly can about the golf course, you know, how are women playing the golf course, juniors, you know, over 25 handicappers, how are they negotiating the golf course? What happens if we put the pins in certain places, stuff like that. The other way we can track data, which we're soon going to be releasing, is like a survey-based system. So we can have, you know, an iPad or a tablet set up either out on the golf course on a hole or in the bar afterwards, where we can just ask, you know, tell us how you played the seventh hole today. And you can input that data and it sends it into our system.
That would be a very easy answer. How'd you play the seventh hole today? Well, crappy. Thank you. Yeah, next question. Leave me alone. So let me make sure I understand this. And you know, golf purists are gonna and sports purists will say to themselves, "Hey, data is ruining baseball. Data is potentially ruining golf." But you are betting your livelihood, as Mike said earlier, an entire company on big data within golf. And if I look at the people that we know that play golf, they have a hard enough time setting up their tee time online, let alone going through this type of thing. How are you going to get past that? And is data truly ruining golf?
Well, I think there's kind of two halves to that. One is in terms of actually getting people using our system. So that's why we use smartwatches, because it's sort of least invasive. We can even, in the pro shop, set it up for you or have the pro set up for you. Just wear this watch and it'll do the rest for you. That's been a big part of what we tried to do. So in terms of, you know, there's a lot of, you know, older people, yeah, non-tech savvy people playing golf. So, and this kind of only works if you get a full spread of golfers using it. So we want to make sure that they're using it. We've made it non-invasive in that sense. In terms of golf being ruined by data. I think, like, especially in architecture, you get it a fair bit where people hear data and they don't like it, because a lot of architecture buffs are kind of keen on the old-fashioned way of doing things. And actually, I'd just say that, like, not all data is the same. I think what I'm really interested in is understanding how golfers are engaging with golf courses and making changes kind of behind the scenes, so that, you know, you play a golf course, you come back 2 years later where we've gone and done our thing, and the golfers just enjoy it more. And they might not even be able to tell you why, and they don't know everything that's gone on in the background in terms of the data analysis and data collection and why we've made those decisions. But ultimately, the end product, the thing that they're just walking and you know, with their clubs on their back, hitting shots, they just enjoy it more. And so we kind of want to dig down into that. And I think, like, there's some element of data potentially ruining golf. I prefer to just play quick rounds. Again, I prefer to walk. I don't actually track my own stats generally out of interest myself. I like to just go out and play. But again, I'm interested in, why do I enjoy some holes more than others? Why do other people enjoy them? How do people engage with golf courses? And focusing on that angle.
Harry Cloke is the guest here of the Stick and Axe Show from Shore Hill Golf Course Analytics.
When you talk about finding the purpose of each decision on the course, Harry, what does that really mean? And you talked a little bit earlier about trying to get in the head of the architect, but just curious your approach there, and what does it mean to try and find the purpose of each shot on a course?
Yeah, so that's kind of that's been like an interesting revelation for some people we've been working with and talking to, is there's a lot of golf courses out there that kind of just evolved over time. So they were designed in the first place, and then, you know, often there's a lot of like tree growth and bunkers spread, and some are filled in and some are put in other places, and you end up with this mishmash of a golf course. The reason we sort of talk about that so much is because the stats we have, they're not black and white. You can actually interpret them in a number of different ways. So, you know, so what if 63% of golfers are hitting this green in regulation? You know, that doesn't really mean anything apart from the context of what are we actually trying to achieve with this hole? How is this hole kind of supposed to play? So that's like, it's an interesting question that people need to start asking themselves about their golf courses. What are we actually trying to achieve? What do we want to achieve? And with an architect strategically, yeah, what are you really trying to achieve? Why is that bunker in that position? If you can answer that question, we can tell you statistically, you know, if you want this bunker to be a bunker that the better players can maybe carry, can try to carry risk-reward, we're going to be able to tell you, is it in the perfect position? If we move it by 3 yards in one direction, what impact is that going to have? But, you know, without knowing the purpose or what you're kind of trying to achieve, it's kind of hard for us to answer that. And I think it's worth noting that the purpose can spread. It can kind of go beyond stats. If something's purely visual, or there's a lot of naturalism in golf course design now, if you're using a natural ridge for some reason, it doesn't have to be statistical, but just ask yourself the question, what are we really trying to achieve here? And then we can look at the stats. And if it's not statistical, that's fine, but it's just kind of, you need to work out the purpose in that sense.
Now, your stats and your platform is built for golf course management and golf course designers and such, but also the players themselves. There are some data points they can glean from their game just by using your software. Did you ever think about going one or the other? Have you always been a complete package of the golfers important and the golf course superintendent management and designers are important as well?
So the superintendent sort of management part of it is where we've always been going. That was kind of the reason for starting the company and building the system. And that's our kind of key selling point. But since we're collecting all this data, you know, we can give it to the golfers themselves. It's kind of, we've collected all the data already, so you might as well. It adds a point of interest to people. It also hopefully gets more people wanting to use our system and collect their data, which helps them with golf course. So we've always been focused on the facility and the management of the golf course. But again, like, there's so much overlap that, you know, we might as well give it. We've got all this data. If golfers want to see it, then they can see it. You know.
And one of the things that you guys are trying to do is to showcase the architect's strategic vision and what they thought was going to happen when they designed this course. Now, you might find this surprising, but I don't know a lot about golf course architecture and the thought process behind it. Okay. It's not something that I've ventured down in the past, but you are trying to showcase that an architect's strategic vision is realized by the data and showcasing the different points there. I know this year was tough because of the pandemic, but that is something you guys are trying to do, is to showcase over time that what the architect of the golf course was trying to achieve is achieved based upon the data.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things for me. I've always been really interested in golf course architecture, and I find it fascinating reading about different theories on golf course architecture, a lot of different writings. And I think there's no practicing architect who doesn't talk a really good game, basically. I think everyone builds holes and courses with some sort of vision, strategic vision and intent, but it's a tiny, tiny percentage of holes. Only the really great golf courses where when you're standing on the tee, you can actually realize what the strategic vision is. Even, I mean, some golf courses, it takes a lot of time. Like the old course at St. Andrews, it takes 10, 20, 30 plays before you start to really work out what's going on in terms of course strategy. But there is strategy, and you can understand that as a player. Most golf courses, I think, miss the mark. And that's for various reasons. And again, digging into the data, which is trying to stop that from happening. Because I don't think you can ever have that bad a golf course that actually fulfills what it's supposed to fulfill. I think the majority of golf courses fall short because what they're trying to achieve hasn't really been properly realized.
Harry, what kind of recommendations have you made based on the data to golf course management? Even they were like, I don't believe that. And then you showed them the data and they're like, huh.
Interesting.
Who knew?
Barry, get in here. We need to have a conversation.
Well, I think kind of each golf course is different, and you see different things at different places. The main one, we're actually pretty popular with a lot of architects who've had to deal with golf committees, greens committees and things. And quite often you'll get one or two people on the committee who they play golf with the same people day in, day out, and they kind of make the assumption that the way they play a hole, or they and their friends play the hole, and they probably all play the same kind of game as well, is representative of everyone. So we're quite popular because you can't really argue with the stats. The captain of the club might say, no, that bunker's in a really good position. Everyone goes in there. And then you can pull up the date and says, actually, it's only you and your three playing partners who go in there. Everyone else is not here.
That's the best. So
there's definitely an element of that where I think, being able to actually zoom out and look at the golf course as a whole rather than just people, kind of thinking they understand things because they play the golf course a lot. Because it's easy to forget that, different people, how you play the golf course is going to impact how you see the golf course and the areas that you put yourself in. So, again, bunkers are probably a prime example. If you hit the ball a certain distance, there's going to be certain hazards that you think are incredibly important or completely pointless. But if your game, the way you play the game, isn't representative of others, if you're in the minority, then actually you have a completely warped view of the golf course and how it's generally operating.
Harry, you've said several times in this interview so far about the risk reward of golf. And we talk about that from time to time, Mike, is the thought process behind, do I go for it or do I not? And there's right. An entire, a Nike campaign all around. Do I go for it or do I not? Maybe it was TaylorMade, Calvary. It doesn't matter. Who cares? There was a specific thought of risk and reward.
Right.
And you guys you kind of look at that same thing, that balancing act of risk and reward and the opportunity, and this is your words, the opportunity is best negotiated with accurate and detailed information. So again, I'll reread that. You've said that balancing act between risk and reward, and that opportunity is best negotiated with accurate and detailed information. So my question is, whatever happened to just seeing what happens and just trying it, right? You're taking a very different approach.
Well, I am sort of. Again, I think when it comes to golfers actually playing the golf course, I'm kind of interested in them standing up and, yeah, they can choose whatever they want to choose, and they stand on the tee. I think good golf courses are always asking them those questions. So if you have a good strategic hole, you'll stand on the tee and you'll think, you know, I need to make a choice here. Am I going for it or not going for it? Whether you do or don't is entirely down to you. But it's just in terms of designing a golf course, building a golf course, maintaining a golf course, you can't really have the same attitude of just like, we're going to chuck a bunker here. It's just, you know, why not? Let's just see what happens. Because you're spending thousands of dollars on maintaining that.
That's the Adam Grubb school of golf course design. Let's just see what happens. I don't care.
I don't know. Put the bunker every 100 yards. Who cares? Right in the middle of the fairway.
Yep.
Let's just go after it. Well, Harry, it's fascinating what you're doing and how you've approached your company. It's a next level, yes, but I think it's necessary. And what you've said is accurate, that more and more people are looking at their game differently and they're playing the game differently. They are thinking more. They are being a little bit more strategic. And and courses are being more strategic in how they're set up. They don't want to be too difficult. They don't want to be too short, too long. They want to be fair to everybody and to break down some of the barriers of golf to let more people play at the course. Harry Cloak from Shore Hill Golf Course Analytics is the guest here on the Stick and Hack Show. Harry, we're going to do a segment of the show now called Takeaway. I'm going to keep you in it so you can let us know if what we've learned and what, you know, by talking to you, if we're on the same page. Is that fair? So you just kind of sit back there and silently judge. All right.
That's the best job.
Yeah, it is the best job. All right, here we go. Takeaway notes now for the Stick and Hack Show. Mike, takeaway notes from Harry Cloak.
I think it's fascinating what they're doing with data. And I think it's really interesting to see how courses that use this technology will be able to look at more holistically the way their golf course is designed and what it's actually doing to people as they play it and as they experience it. And I think that's really fascinating. I think it's a great way to actually approach the game, because you're able to use data to actually see where people are navigating the golf course. And then as you make decisions from a maintenance perspective, a design perspective, being able to use that data to make the game more enjoyable. And to me, in my opinion, that's the most important thing is making sure that whatever product you're putting out there is making it more enjoyable for the average golfer. So,
agreed. My takeaway is the use of technology for golf. Golf is primarily a very simple game. You've got your clubs, you've got a ball, and you've got a hole that's 350 yards, 400 yards away that you're supposed to hit the ball into, right? That's the simplistic nature of the game. Yet the use of technology and the smartwatch and this information beaming back to the clubhouse, then after the round going, hey, how did that go? It would be scary in some regard for golfers to see that and understand, wow, you could be like Tony Finau, I could have shot this had I not gone out of bounds 13 times. That would have been fantastic. So my takeaway is the use of technology in golf and what Harry's doing to bring a very unique perspective to both parties. That's the golf course managers and the golf course owners and the golf course in general and the players. I think this is one of the first and only products that are merging both together. Most stats and data products that are out there in the market are for the player to track the player's ability.
Absolutely.
This is saying, yeah, we'll do that. Almost secondary, I think is what he said. Almost secondary. We'll give you we're getting the stats. We might as well give them the players. But this is really for the golf courses so they know if they're succeeding or not in not just their vision, but the course itself.
Yeah.
Harry, how did we do on the takeaways?
You did well, yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
Best. I love it. Yeah, it's fine. It's the simple reaction's the best.
I know. I was hoping that Harry would bring over that UK-British reaction that they're so known for, right? You guys aren't known for being subtle, are you?
No, well,
Yeah, you are. That's exactly what you're saying.
There it is.
That's what you exactly
he's,
know.
He's
for.
So humble,
Harry. We are excited for you and the journey you're going on here with this company. It's very, very cool. For more information, shorehillgolf.com, shorehillgolf.com to learn more about Harry and your team. You've got a big team that you work with too. It's not just you in a basement somewhere. You're rocking and rolling. You've got a pretty big operation. Tell us about that.
Well, it's not huge. There's three of us.
More than us. We have more than we have. So that is massive. We had three, but yeah. We fired one about an hour ago.
Yep.
I was gonna say with Shane out. Yeah, you're down one. But we've got three of us working on it full time, and then we collaborate with architects and construction guys. We've got quite a wide network of people. Who will kind of bring in or hopefully bring us in at times, but we'll work with anyone. So we're pretty open like that. But
good. Well, we
he's
have
on our show clearly.
Yeah, he will work with literally anyone. Harry, congratulations to you, sir. We appreciate you being on the show and sharing with us a little bit about the data analytics and what you guys are building. But now we're going to shift gears and we're going to play a stick and hack game. Are you ready?
I'm in, yeah.
All right, so it's stick or hack. This is the game, stick or hack. We haven't done this in a couple episodes. We've been doing in or out. This week we're doing stick or hack snacks. So stick or hack. Now, I want to remind everybody, it's not necessarily good or bad. It's just how they approach their craft of being a snack and a candy.
Is it a sophisticated snack?
Correct. Or is it stupid?
Just stupid.
Is it just there?
Yeah.
Okay, stick or hack snacks. All right, now... Mike, you did say to me before the show that they have different snacks over
UK.
The UK than they do here.
I'll be surprised if he knows what these
which
are.
Which surprised me. I didn't know that because I think everything in Indiana is the same everywhere in the world. all right, so here we go. Stick or hack snacks, and we're going to start with you, Mike. Raisinets.
I'm going to go stick.
Harry?
Raisinette. I've not heard of
raisinette.
Right.
All right. I'll I'll assist.
You're gonna assist
here. All right, Harry, a raisinette is a chocolate-covered raisin.
Right, which automatically puts it in.
Yeah. Yes. I probably could have guessed that. We have chocolate raisins here. I've never been a big fan.
No, hack.
So whichever that is, hack. Really.
Yeah, hack. Is. You and I are in agreement, Harry. Chocolate-covered raisin sounds terrible and is terrible. Corn nuts.
Hack.
Harry, corn nuts.
I actually love a corn nut. So,
I like corn nuts. I think they're a hack snack.
Relax.
Don't go back.
So you say I'm having a hard time following in this here. So you said stick for corn nuts, correct? Yeah, so do I. And you say hack, but could be stick.
But it's still enjoyable.
All right. Swiss rolls.
Stick.
Stick.
Yeah.
Think about it. Are they the little like spongy swirl things?
Yeah.
Swirl. Covered in chocolate.
Covered in chocolate.
Yeah. They have like a cream.
Well, I've never had one. I'm going to go hack.
Oh, you're wrong.
Okay. Well, I'll try one.
We will. We'll send you a stick and hack hat Swiss and then rolls. A stick and hack snack.
Yep.
Twizzlers.
Stick.
Harry? Twizzlers.
Hack. Not a big Twizzler.
No, you're not a big Twizzler. No. So Twizzler to me is hack. It sounds like it should be stick. It sounds good in the moment. You're like, oh, a Twizzler. And then you take one bite. You're like, oh, this is crap. That's how I feel. It's stupid. And it takes a half hour to chew.
Okay.
Pass. Slim Jim.
That's stick for me.
Yeah, that's just because of Macho Man Randy Savage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Slim Jim, Harry.
I can. What's a Slim Jim actually made of?
It's a beef stick. It's a beef stick.
Yeah, it's like a jerky type thing, like a stick. Yeah. That'd be a hack for me.
Yeah, I'm a hack on the beef stick because they smell terrible. So that's whenever delicious. I open up one in the car, I think that might be the last day I'm married, because she freaks out. She goes, "That smells." That's not how she sounds.
They're delicious.
Slim Jims are hack. Fudge Stripes.
You know, I don't know what fudge stripes are.
Really?
I don't think I've ever had one.
Keebler, the little Keebler fudge stripes are in that.
Yeah. No, those are stick. Yeah.
Right. Okay. 100% stick. Harry.
Okay.
I don't know, but it sounds pretty good.
It's damn good, Harry. Yeah. Do yourself a favor.
Oh, it's a cookie.
It's a cookie. Yeah.
Or a biscuit, as you might call it.
I'll stick. Chuck one of them in my goodie bag, go.
We've got Swiss rolls and fudge stripes coming your way.
Love it.
Combos. Stick.
Stick, yeah.
Moving on. Harry, don't care if you know it or not, it's a stick.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there we go. Rice Krispie treats.
Stick.
Stick. Rice Krispie treats.
Probably hack, but somewhere in the middle. Indifferent. I'm pretty indifferent.
Indifferent. Yeah. I say stick. For Rice Krispie treats. Yeah. All right, the last one here, sticker hack snacks. Swedish fish.
Hack.
Go ahead.
Hack.
3 for 3. Hack. You know who put that one in there? Producer Shane. That is exactly the type of candy that idiot would love. Swedish fish. How's that even a thing?
They're terrible.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the situation in life I would be in where I would say, yes, I'll take a Swedish fish, please.
It's like eating semi-flavored wax.
That Shane gave you.
That Shane gave me. It's been in his pocket for a month.
Oh, God. Stick and Hack Show. Harry Cloak, the guest. Harry, my thanks to you, sir, for being on the program. Hope you had fun.
Thank you very much. You had a great time, though. I enjoyed it.
Good deal.
Having me, guys. Though.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Harry. We will be sending you snacks over the pond here in mere moments. Show brought to you by Toasty Super Bites. Those are stick.
We need to send him some of those, too.
Yeah, we do. Available in 8 yummy flavors and 2 convenient sizes. Toasty is part of our member perks program for Stick and Hack members. Sign up free and get the code and save some money on Toasty snacks. Mike, proud of you. Great show. Thanks so much. We'll see you later, I guess.
Yeah, proud of you, man. Peace out, guys.
Okay, we're done. This has been the Stick and Hack Show. Go to stickandhack.com to become a free member of the world's greatest golf club without the course.